the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girls.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks is taking no short, just like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
All right, it is the New York Knicks podcast, episode 268. We are 1.5 days away from the regular season, which is very, very exciting because I am sick of preseason already.
As excited, like you get so excited for preseason to start because you're like, oh my God, basketball, it's back. And like the third day of preseason, you're like, this is lame. Where's the goddamn season already?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to watch like the 10th through 15th guys on the bench play crunch time.
I want to stop caring who's going to be the 15th guy on the Knicks bench. Who gives a crap?
There is a little bit of Knicks news. I don't know if you heard.
I've been hearing lots of Knicks news lately, so don't Travis wear me out with the news.
Yes. Very exciting.
That's the worst joke I could possibly make.
But that is exciting.
I guess. I mean, it doesn't preclude it from being on the Westchester, right?
No, not at all. It's just okay, so the Knicks now, since they decided to keep Travis Ware, have to cut somebody else.
Well, I don't know how it works. I don't get how this works. Like a guy like Langston Galloway, can the Knicks still put him on the Westchester team even though they cut him? Only have 15 guys between Westchester and the NBA?
No. I think if they never signed him to a contract, they just had him for preseason, then I think they still have the rights to him. So then he can go to Westchester.
The NBA making everything as confusing as possible.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. Outlaw is supposedly the guy they're going to cut. Though, if I had to choose, I'd take Bargs. But outside of Bargs, I'll take Outlaw.
You can only have one Travis on an NBA team. That's deep down in the CBA.
Yes.
Many people know that rule.
I have to say Outlaw looked like the most worthless player on the team.
Yeah, so that's totally fine that he's going to get cut.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it means, I just don't want Ware to be sitting on the bench all season for the Knicks. I want him playing and getting real playing time in Westchester. You know actually who I'd like to send to Westchester as well?
Barks, you already said that.
Well, actually the entire roster besides Melo, but but actually in a positive sense, yeah. Shane Larkin.
I think we're really thin at the point guard if he goes, though.
I think we're really thin at the point guard if he plays.
Yeah, that too. But what would you rather? Does that mean you want to see like Shumpert or Smith at the point?
No, well, I mean, I'm assuming Calderon is healthy. I'm not doing this if Calderon's not healthy.
Well, yeah, but, he's healthy, but he's not going to play. Between him and Priggy, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, they
get
were looking at Larkin
minutes?
As being really the backup point guard and getting real minutes, mm-hmm. and Priggy being like more like, hey, if we need someone around, we got this this Spanish tourist that can still play.
He's probably so happy they talked him into coming over. Because they've treated him really well since he's been here.
Well, he's getting real NBA playing time, so that's cool.
Sometimes,
and he's making
yeah.
pretty good money. I mean, I don't know what he made in...
He was getting real playing time when Woodson felt like it, and then sometimes not for a month.
He is kind of, though, like one of those guys that all the fans like.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you could run into one guy... I mean, there are a lot of guys you would. I bet every fan that runs into him gets so excited because there's nothing to hate about him.
Yeah, he's just a very likable guy. That's the thing about this team is not going to be good, but it now has a lot of likable guys on it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Shane Larkin. I've watched him enough. I haven't watched that much of the preseason, but I've watched him enough to realize he's got a lot of potential, and will turn the ball over so much you want to kill yourself while watching him. I mean, he'll make a lot of bad decisions, but I feel like he has a. Maybe he plays point guard for like at least a couple months where he gets real play. My worry is he comes to the Knicks, he turns the ball over, doesn't get playing time, doesn't develop, and then he goes to some other team and he'll develop there.
That's the old Knicks.
That is the old Knicks don't take Travis Ware, so that's true.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost confusing. Like there's a move we want the Knicks to make, and then they make it.
It's Knicks valuing young potential over, hey, we've heard of him.
Let's give Kenyon Martin another shot.
Wait.
This is like bizarro universe Knicks right now.
New Knicks wear old Knicks Travis Outlaw. New Knicks, pretty look good in preseason. He'll get playing time. Old Knicks, pretty look good in preseason. Too bad.
Yeah.
Did you watch the last? Hey, let's pass the ball a lot. Old Knicks, hey, let's pass the ball to Melo a lot. come on, try these. Come on.
New Knicks, Amari takes a bath in wine. Old Knicks, Amari does not take. did you read that story?
What is this story with the wine thing?
It's apparently some sort of medical. The wine goes. Isn't that just a way to get drunk?
See, I saw the headline and I figured it was something like, I thought it was some kind of joke. I don't know. I thought maybe it was like pouring wine on his head for ALS, whatever. Maybe that was his version of it. I didn't know it was actually a medical thing he was trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a joke. And then I saw the picture he posted. He was in a hot tub of wine.
Right. You know what he should be doing? Stop looking for medical science that's so goddamn out there and just fly to Phoenix and ask them what they do there. Steve Nash played like apparently Phoenix was just like propping him up and like making sure he can play well. Since he came to the Laker, he doesn't play anymore.
Yeah, there was some real Weekend at Bernie stuff going on in Phoenix.
It's amazing who they can keep alive there. Grant Hill. I mean, Greg Oden should be like, hey, I'm coming back for Phoenix. I'll take league minimum.
They could use a backup big man, too. I don't see why he hasn't been all over that.
Greg Oden should pay them.
He should just be waiting in their lobby in a Suns jersey that he bought at the team store.
I got a lot of money, didn't really earn any of it. I get 10% of Dragic's salary. I will pay it. Just make me healthy, please.
Exactly.
What do you think about Nash now he's done? I mean, obviously, I guess he was smart for opting in.
Yeah, he's definitely out for the whole season. He's 40, so by the whole season, that means his entire career. He's definitely done.
Do you think when he opted in, he thought there was a chance he was going to play?
I do. I think he played 3 games in preseason, so I think he thought he was going to play, and then he tweaked his back again, and then that was it. So I don't think he's like, I mean, I like how he's honest. I like how he said, I wasn't going to retire because I'd get $10 million. And then people are getting mad because they're like, oh, what a greedy. It's like, what would you do?
You're like, I'm actually pretty sure everyone in the NBA plays for money. So he does it as well.
And I'm also pretty sure everyone on the planet being offered $10 million would do that.
I'm also pretty sure he doesn't have any undying loyalty to the LA Lakers, who basically he's only been injured for. So
yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the Lakers, where are they now? Jeremy Lin, not getting to be the starting point guard, even though Steve Nash is now injured and they really have no one else.
How is he not the starting point guard? Who are they starting?
They're starting anyone else. Byron Scott, who's now the Lakers coach, not D'Antoni, said Ronnie Price, who has been in the league for 9 years, yet no one's heard of him, will be starting the point guard and they'll have Lin coming off the bench.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
That's insane.
He said he'll be and basically said Price is not a definitive starter because they're going to looking to try to acquire someone.
So, why do they hate Lin so much?
I don't know why.
I mean, Lin's not the greatest, but he's better than Ronnie Price.
He said we probably need to look for someone else. I think he said he likes Lin coming off the bench. But wow, going from like a guy everyone's like, oh my god, he's so great, to Houston can't wait to get rid of you, to the Lakers will rather start their coach Byron Scott at point guard.
Well, Minnesota just bought out Barea, so maybe he'll be their starter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He fell off pretty fast after winning the title.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that thinks he's like a Mario Chalmers. He thinks he's the best point guard in the league, and I think it really pisses off his teammates.
Well, I feel like he's one of those guys, like Shane Larkin, going back to him. I feel like upside, Shane Larkin could be a very serviceable, if not pretty good point guard in the league. Downside, his peak will be a J.J. Barea, a guy that's kind of fast, looks like he can do a lot, but really can't, turns the ball over and doesn't really contribute.
Yeah,
like Larkin. I mean, Larkin and Barea running down the court. A lot of times you see them run down the court, and they don't really have a plan.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's just Barea doesn't really have an excuse. He's almost 30, but hopefully Larkin is just getting the feel for things. Hopefully.
Well, his season, he was out most of last year, so this is almost his rookie year.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just the NBA, like, you could do this in college and get away with a lot of stuff. You can't get away with stuff in the NBA. I think also because of the triangles messing with his head a little bit, because he doesn't know when to go for a shown shot and when to pass the ball. Which half the team feels like they don't know when to pass the ball and when they go for their own shot.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good assessment of the Knicks right now.
Yeah, you see guys like are under the basket. They got the ball under the basket. Are you going to dunk the ball or pass it out for a three-point shot? I'll pass it out. The triangle calls me to pass it out. No, take the damn shot, you idiot.
Bargnani's injured for the first three games.
Oh, but you said there was some good news.
Yeah.
I wish it was longer, but yeah. So Phil Jackson, do you want to go to the Phil Jackson stuff?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. This will be our preview episode. I'm going to go through the teams and we'll say what places we think they're going to be in. Mm-hmm. But what I think is unbelievably awesome was that everyone probably listening to this has read this already. Phil Jackson gained comments on everyone on the team.
Yeah,
which has happened in the Knicks history never.
Yeah, not only are they open, he was also really, really honest.
Right.
To the point where I hope some of the players didn't read that.
Right. I mean, I guess he's not the coach anymore, so it's not like he has to face them. I think as the team president, maybe he feels even. Though he did this as a coach anyhow, but like not probably to this extreme.
Right.
Do you want to go through what he said for each player?
Sure.
Okay. And I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
But so he grouped Calderon and Priggy together, saying aggressive enough on offense to be a threat, not nearly as aggressive on the other end of the court. Basically, they got to work on being better on the ball defenders. But he likes their shooting. And he says Pablo rarely, if ever, takes a bad shot, though he rarely, if ever, takes a shot. And Calderon shoots a lot, but it only takes good shots also.
If you want to speed this segment up a little bit, he mentioned defense for 12 out of the 15 players. That's not a funny joke.
Okay, I mean, why don't we give our take on... do you want to give your take on Calderon and Priggy? What's your thought on them? Or he's just dead on. He's right, basically.
Yeah, defense is going to be a very big problem, and they're both really good shooters.
I'll make this really fast. Calderon and Priggy can't play defense. I wish they could. Shumpert can play defense. He's got to work on his offense, but maybe the ball will flow to him in the triangle. Melo, obviously play offense. It'd be nice if he ever played defense. Amari, he could be the scoring force he used to be. He has to figure out defense. Bargs, he has to figure out defense. He loves Bargs. He goes, he thinks that Bargs could be special in the triangle. He'll thrive in the triangle is the word to use.
Maybe he meant special, like special person.
Yeah, actually, I use the word special. He said thrive.
So. Oh. Yeah, I can't make a retarded joke out of that word.
No. Maybe he's trolling us?
Maybe. I wouldn't put it past Phil. He can't possibly think that he's going to be that good.
Do you think maybe like he's like, if Bargs' initial season in New York was a disappointment, I believe he'll thrive in the triangle? And the reporter's like, thrive in the triangle. Okay, don't look at facial expressions or get that he might be joking.
Ignore all the winks.
He did say the three-point shot is a bit out of his range. In other words, he can't shoot the three, which the Knicks, he'll spread the floor. He shoots the three, is what we heard last year.
Yeah, he does have a good mid-range shot.
Well, what I get is, like, just like Jason Smith, basically, Phil wants guys who can hit mid-range shots because apparently in the triangle, it sets up a lot of basically mid-range spot-up shots.
But the thing is, with Jason Smith, like, do we need two of him?
Right. Well, Jason Smith, I would say Jason Smith is a poor man Bargs, but I think he's just Bargs, kind of. Jason Smith is not much better than Bargs. He's kind of the same player.
I think talent-wise, they're almost exactly the same, only Jason Smith makes way less, so I'd rather him.
Right. Well, Bargs has the ability... Well, obviously, would you rather have Bargs or a hot dog? But I think Bargs has like seems like he has the ability to like drive to the basket a little more than Jason Smith, and he has like some he has greater athletic range.
But Jason Smith?
No, Bargs.
Okay.
But I mean, they're basically the same player.
Yeah.
Jason Smith, you've seen him on defense. You know he's not that great on defense, and you've seen he shoots. He hits mid-range shots. At least he knows enough not to shoot the three. Versus Bargs doesn't know enough.
Yeah, Bargs thinks he's a really good three-point shooter.
Yeah, there's no evidence to support that.
No, none at all. I think it, like his rookie or his second season, he shot decently, but that was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, Dalembert, basically he says Dalembert's good on defense, and he does whatever. You can read the reviews. They're all. No one plays defense, and Cole Aldridge apparently a blue collar guy that'll never see the light of day.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
I've watched him in preseason, and I watched him last year. I don't think he's going to be like a great center, but he looks like a more than adequate backup.
I don't think he's any worse than anybody else we have. I don't get why he's automatically benched.
He's actually better than anyone else we have as a backup center because we don't have anyone else who actually plays center. I don't see why it makes more sense to play Amari or Bargs or Jason Smith as center versus a guy that knows actually can play center.
Who knows?
It's just the only reason he doesn't play, and I guess it's because you need to find minutes for the other guys.
Do you?
No, I don't think you do.
do you really have to find minutes for some of those guys?
I would, and I know people are like, oh, Amari's the greatest and blah, blah, blah. And if he didn't come here, we wouldn't win all those titles. But I just wish that Amari and Barbs were not on the team this year. I just want to move forward. I know they're not going to be on the team next year, even though you think they're going to sign Amari for a five-year, $5 million, like some kind of good contract. I don't think they're going to be on the team this next year. Let's work on the guys that are actually going to be on the team. Here's a question for you, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather sacrifice making the playoffs for the sake of development, or would you rather make the playoffs and sacrifice some development?
Development, because I think if we make the playoffs this year, we're playing the Cavs or Bulls, and I don't see us getting past five games in either of those series. So I'd rather development.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would say that, but you still want to see the team win games.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's terrible when they don't make the playoffs, and we've had enough seasons without that. But on the other hand, to get another asset for next year, plus all the cap space,
I just rather see like AC getting a lot of playing time. I think the Hardaway is at the back. Aldridge is the backup center. I want to see the young guys get playing time and just like go all in on the guys that aren't, and just like forget more about the guys that aren't going to be here next year.
Right.
Like, I don't see why we have to go out of... I get you have to give minutes to Amari. I don't see why you have to go out of your way to give Bargs minutes in the triangle. Or I know he's going to thrive and all, but... And I know Phil Jackson is... I am not a billionth as smart as he is about basketball, but what the hell is he talking about with Bargs? You think he's just saying this because the way he like gets in guys' heads? Like, he used to like... He would say things to the media about like Jordan or Kobe to get in their head.
I feel like almost everything Phil says is calculated, so there's got to be a reason.
Like maybe he's like, you know what? Bargs is pretty much trash, but they asked me to give him one more shot, so I'm going to get in his head and make him believe it. And if he believes it, maybe he'll figure it out.
It's very possible.
Okay, so is there anything else that was even interesting on here? Hardaway, he thinks, is going to develop fast.
Well, if it's on defense, then that's a really good thing.
Well, he said a good thing. He said in most colleges, defense is not really emphasized, and the idea is for your players to outscore their opponent.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Hardaway's defense is. That's why basically the NBA is tough for any young player on defense, I think a guy like Shumpert probably. Knew his defense was going to be one of the things that would get him in the NBA. Hardaway never really needed to play defense in college because there was just like, go score.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm glad they're getting on that now instead of like an Amari situation where it was 10 years and nobody said anything.
I mean, it is like they've been talking a lot. I mean, forget the triangle. They've been talking about defense.
Which is funny because they're going to be so bad. They're going to be a bottom five defensive team.
Well, I think they know that. That's why they keep talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just going to call out the thing that they know is the biggest problem and get guys to work on it. and not pretend, well, if Amari gives us good minutes on offense, he can just sit down on defense. Anything? Did you read this, right? Any comments you thought were pretty interesting?
No, I think you covered everything.
He's really enthusiastic about AC, who I thought when we got Quincy AC, I thought it was a weird trade we got. Like, why are we even picking up this guy? But as I've watched him, I kind of like him.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like halfway through the season, he's going to be one of my favorite players on the team.
Yeah. They made a point in Sacramento that they were just overloaded in the forward spot. So basically, he just didn't get a lot of minutes. But like, he should have been getting more minutes there to begin with. Like, maybe we found something that they were undervaluing.
Yeah. We made fun of the Knicks for having a lot of guys that play the same position. Sacramento basically had just shooting guards and power forwards last season.
I want to go as far as saying that they list him as a small forward here, which is weird. I would want to go as far as saying I would start AC as my power forward.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, not because I think he's necessarily the best power forward in the team, but I would start him here because I like the idea of his energy and like developing a young guy. Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather not make the playoffs and develop AC, basically.
I wouldn't start him, but I'd definitely make sure he had a, you know, maybe like a seventh man role.
I think he's going to get a lot of minutes, so I'm not really that concerned. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'm not that concerned with him actually getting minutes.
Yeah, I would still start Amari and, you know, until he's injured.
What is the point? If Amari and Barnes, if you're positive they're not going to be here next year, what's the point of giving them tons of minutes?
Well, we're not in full-fledged tank mode, so... And Amari can play offense, and it's not like anybody who's coming off the bench is going to tear it up on defense, so he might as well score more points.
The Knicks. We might as well try more on offense because defense is just not going to work out.
Pretty much. That's the motto for this season.
I can't disagree with you, and half the guys in the roster may not be in the team next year. I mean, like, yeah. It'd be nice to... The most important thing I think about this triangle is having, like, the roster stability. The more guys you have on the team year after year, the better team's going to play.
Yeah, you got to get some continuity. But, I mean, do we even know if AC's going to be on the team next year?
You know who may not be is Larkin. They said they're not picking up Larkin's option.
Interesting.
I'd rather save that money for it. Apparently, it's a $1.7 million option. They said the rumor is, at least, they're not going to pick it up because they'd rather keep that money clear for the following year, which probably means it's a wait-and-see thing with Larkin. If they like him, they'll sign him after the season, but they're willing to take that risk.
Right.
Which means probably he'll have an all-star season and play on some other team next year. it seems like not an unreasonable gamble. By the way, J.R. Smith said, the triangle is a struggle amidst to putting himself before the team in the past. Mm. Wow, that's shocking. Way to admit that, J.R.
I'm completely shocked that J.R. found something confusing.
Though it looks like everyone's a little bit confused, but yeah.
MSG right now is showing the Linsanity game.
Which one?
The Lakers game.
Oh, that's a great game.
Yeah.
I love when I love at the end when, like, it was basically when it was Kobe versus Lin. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Kobe, I like it even more because Lin actually won that game.
Yeah. In a few years, I'll be broken down. You'll be my backup point guard to no one. yeah. Do you want to do our retro section, or do you want to do our previews?
What's our retro section?
I've introduced this today. Retro section. Basketball playing cards. Did you ever collect them? If not, why not? Why didn't they take off? Kick me to your youth, Jay.
I like how you asked me if I wanted to do a segment you just made up that I didn't know about. yeah, let's do that. I collected basketball cards for 1 year.
Did you collect baseball cards? I know you hated baseball.
Well, I hate baseball now. I didn't used to. And I collected baseball cards for 3 years.
I don't know how popular. I don't think they're that popular right now, baseball cards. But for when we were younger, I think they were, you admit they were like pretty damn popular, right?
Every single kid had it. And for the 87 series, I actually got that entire set through buying packs and trading them. Do you know how hard that is? It was like 800 cards.
That's pretty crazy. So why didn't basketball cards catch on the way baseball cards did? Like, the NBA wasn't as big back then, I admit, but like, it's been growing. Why wouldn't basketball cards like start, like, why doesn't everyone want LeBron? Well, people probably want LeBron rookies. Why aren't they more popular?
I think basketball cards, basketball itself got really popular right before or right during the time where everyone stopped collecting cards.
Right. Maybe they missed the bubble in baseball on cards.
Yeah. Cause I feel like the card collecting bubble burst in like early 90s. And that's right when the NBA blew up.
Yeah. Plus, also, like, sorry, go.
All our parents were baseball fans, and they got us into the baseball cards. So, like, we were already, like, you know, you have a kid, you could just make him a fan of anything. You could just be like, baseball cards are awesome, and he'll start collecting baseball cards. So, like, none of our parents said, oh, basketball cards rule.
Two things. First of all, my dad's actually not into sports. He was more like, Star Trek. Should we get Star Trek cards? And two, I really hope that works with like my son, making him a big, obviously, Knick fan. So far, I've noticed things like if I say, Zach, I like strawberries. He'll go, I like strawberries too.
Exactly.
So I hope that works when he's not, when he's like older than three.
I think that works until they're 14 and they hate you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be great. I, the only thing I'd say also is that baseball is more like a stats. It was a very stats-focused sport, and basketball's never been that stats-focused.
Yeah, especially in the early 90s, it was points, rebounds, assists.
Yeah. I wonder if people are getting cards. I assume they still make basketball cards. And I wonder if people are getting the cards being like, I'll trade you a Jeremy Lin. Look, he's purr on here. How much of the advanced stats?
I wonder if the baseball card, the basketball cards even have the advanced stats on them.
Or even baseball cards, do they have the war, whatever the crap they people use in that sport?
All these advanced stats. Too much. Too much.
They've almost ruined the game, the advanced stats. Yeah. Let's just look at really basic stats everyone can understand, okay?
And then the people who fully understand the advanced stats are such snobs about it, too. Oh, you didn't spend 10 hours studying warp? Well,
did you get a call from Dal Mori?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is kind of like, well, I let's go basic on it. If he scores 16 points a game and your guy scores 15 points a game, my player is a point better per game than you are.
That I can understand.
If Amari scores 22 points a game and Melo scores 44, 25 points a game, put them together, they score 47 points a game exactly. Okay, you want to do a previous?
Let's do some questions, and we'll do the previews. No?
Why? Oh, yeah, sure. I don't care.
Well, I figure we'll break it up.
Break it up. You want to read the review? You want to read the reviews? We've been getting a. You want to read the reviews on the website?
Yeah, sure, sure. So this one says, Mark brings so much energy to the show, even though sometimes his jokes are incredibly stupid and cringeworthy. I can tell he at least tries to make the show funny and entertaining, unlike Jay. That just brings this super negative Nancy, I don't like anything attitude that holds Mark's positive energy back. Listening to Jay reminds me of the days I used to battle depression and suicide. Thank you guys for reading the comments. It makes me feel like you guys care about your listeners. P.S. I am not Mark or any way associated with Mark. So the funny thing is you're usually the negative one.
I think so. I think you're negative too, though.
Well, we're both negative, but I think you were the more negative one, at least for the first 3 years of the show.
What if I was posting these reviews and writing "not Mark" on the thing?
That would be funny.
Like Jay sees the review on the website, you're like, "You used your own email address. I know it's you. Yeah. Your name's an email address."
This one's from Will. Guys, please comment on Phil Jackson's scouting report.
We just did,
and.
I think it's pretty amazing. I am so excited for the fact that we're going to have some level of, I mean, you don't know what he's doing to like get in the guy's heads, but in general, some level of transparency is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And comment on how Iman is his favorite.
Wow. He likes the athletic point guard, athletic guard that plays defense. No way.
Who's not a complete idiot.
Yeah. I mean, I think he sees a lot of potential in Shump. He thinks, what I'm gathering is he thinks in the triangle, Shump will get more touches. Won't we just be like, hey, Shump, go to the corner and hope we pass to you. So I think he feels like used correctly, Shump should be better. Though he commented on Shump not being great at finishing at the rim. He needs to work on that.
Yeah.
Maybe that was Shane Larkin, but whatever. It holds true for both guys.
This one says, I personally like Jay more. He is calm and always brings a cool down attitude to the show. Mark is always acting like a donkey jackass bollocker, always super cocky. And me, such a narcissist. Mark is the type of guy that instead of eating a okay.
I thought you were cutting out was the... Jay decided that we're going to cut out the some of the... we're cutting out some of the silliness of some of the comments.
Yeah.
Go on.
Let's see. We'll be lucky if we get 37 wins. I'm panicking. How much more? I guess this was after the loss to Washington.
Right. I mean, the team hasn't looked that great. Has not looked that great in preseason, which is meaningless because you never remember how the team actually looked in preseason before good seasons versus bad seasons.
Right. Also, I don't know if you saw the Toronto game, but Toronto left their starters in at the very end of the fourth, and they were playing against Aldridge, AC, and a couple other the bench players. So it's like, how much can you take out of that? It's like, oh, good, Toronto won, but they had their starters against our bench, which won't happen in the regular season.
Right. I think some teams try to win preseason games because you're like, you want to get the winning mentality going, and some teams are like, hey, these games are all scrimmages. We're going to work on stuff.
Right.
I think the Knicks were more... They didn't care win-loss at all. They didn't want to go 0-7, but like they didn't really care other than that.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Twitter.
Okay.
Twitter is at NYKnicksPodcast.
It's like Jay didn't read 10 of the 12 comments.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
TheNewYorkKnicksPodcast.com if you want to go there. I believe we still have some writers for the site that will be posting stuff.
If you want to write for the site... Let us know. We'll let you write for the site. We're looking always for new material. Whether you want to write game recaps or write about your retro section about your memories of Knicks or anything you really want Knicks related, we'd be happy to have you come on and contribute.
Just make sure you use actual punctuation and
Right. If you can say if you can't send us a correctly punctuated email, we're not going to let you write on the site.
Right. We got one article that was an entire paragraph with no period spaces or I couldn't do it. I felt bad, but I couldn't post it. So nyknickspodcast@gmail.com. We got a Twitter from Christian. I posted this was for the player rankings, and I posted something bad about Harden. Because he was ranked above Melo, and I found that ridiculous. And he said, when Harden tries, he's a good defender. People forget he guarded the team's best player when he was in Oklahoma City. They also lost. So I don't know how much that says.
Right. Well, I guess the idea that if he tries, he can be a good defender, and Melo, if he tries, he can be a good defender.
Melo tries a hell of a lot more often than Harden does.
Yeah, it just matters what you actually do. If Harden doesn't actually try and defend, even if he can... He's not doing it, so that's...
I don't know how ESPN thinks he's the ninth best player in the league. I mean, he's so bad on defense. At this point, he's almost a neutral on your team.
I don't think that far. I still think he's a positive because he is very good at offense and draws a lot of fouls and everything like that. Well, he flops a lot to draw a lot of fouls. But I still think he's a very good player. I don't know if he's ninth best, but I agree he shouldn't be above Melo.
Speaking of flopping... They had a preseason game with a 44-minute game because they feel that the games are taking too long. So instead of not calling all these touch fouls and fouls from flopping or maybe not having 10 TV timeouts during the game, they decided it would be a better idea to shorten the actual game.
Here's a rule change you could actually make that I think would be a pretty good one. I agree. They're not going to get rid of the TV timeouts. They're not going to. They want to get as many commercials as possible. The 44-minute thing seems kind of idiotic to me. They should cut down on the touch fouls or do something about flopping. That would really help. But here's a rule I think would be a really good one. You know, this occurred to me during the I think in the Toronto game, one of the games it came up. You know, basically your team's down by say 3, and you need a 3-pointer at the end of the game, and they could foul you and force you to shoot a 2.
Yeah.
And they do, and the guy like basically just taps him, and they call a foul. How about if the team wants a 3-point shot, you don't call a foul unless it's legitimately like disrupts the play. A team should never be able to use a foul to their advantage.
I see. As far as slowing, as speeding the game up, I would just put something on the jersey, a logos on the jersey, and then take out some of the TV timeouts. So you don't lose any advertising revenue.
So yeah, we're talking about two different issues. I agree with you.
But your point was
brought up your issue. I agree with you. You're right. They should do something like that. They should look like they're freaking NASCAR cars. I'd be fine with that. I'd rather that and less commercials.
Yeah.
The 44-minute thing seems stupid, and also it like messes with
history.
Stats do matter a little bit, and it kind of messes with them a little bit because you're like, I don't know. He averaged that in a 44-minute games versus the 48-minute they used to play in the old days. It just seems.
Yeah, I know. Then you're going to have all these stupid arguments and saying, well, you know, Jordan didn't have to have shortened games. And, you know, you're just going to have so many ridiculous.
It seemed like the silliest way to make it shorter was to actually reduce the actual minutes of the game.
Yeah. That's not the problem.
Or just find some way to, like, yeah, find some way to work in the advertisements the way they work them on TV shows where, like, the character on the TV show is like, oh, I can't believe your mom dies. Hellman's. It always helps me on sandwiches when people die. Like, just something, just work it in. They could have it on the jerseys. They could have it on the floor.
You could have the announcer say it during the game. I don't care if he's reading about a foot-long Subway sandwich, you know. Throw that in there. Bill Simmons does that during his podcast. Whatever.
Yeah. Like, oh, he, wow. Shump really got up on that dunk, just like Viger gets you up. Next.
Yeah, exactly.
They could be cringeworthy. Just get him in. Just work him in. Who cares?
The problem is a 48-minute game takes 3 hours.
Do you know there are also better commercials? The reason they have, like, if you listen to radio shows, when they have the announcers, the people on the show actually read the commercials because they find when they do, people listen more versus they just tune out regular commercials. Mm-hmm. So these commercials would actually probably even charge more for the commercials.
Yeah.
NBA, listen, please. Someone out there?
I don't know why we don't run the NBA. It'd be so much
better. Yeah, I don't know why they just give it to a random two guys that have a podcast.
With the marginal
in a terrible Disney
listeners.
Movie, we get to run the NBA. but the flopping, here's my idea for flopping.
Okay.
You know they have for when they review fouls, they send everything to the same place?
Hmm?
I phrased that wrong. So in Major League Baseball, when they do instant replay, they send everything to their New York office and do all the replays in the same place.
Oh, yeah. The NBA just set up a command center.
Yeah. So they set up, can you do that for the game for flopping and just have the guys reviewing for flopping throughout the game? If they see something they think is a flop, give the foul in game.
I just think if it's, you don't have to call these touch fouls. That'll eliminate flopping in itself because that's a byproduct of touch fouls.
Well, the argument they make is that I get foul on the hard fouls, and if I don't, like, fall down, the ref never calls it.
Right, but...
So I need to exaggerate. I need to be, like, in a Shakespearean play up there.
Yeah, but if you stop calling the touch fouls, then they wouldn't fall down as much either because...
Well, the NBA also hates the 1990s.
Yeah, you know, the time that everyone reminisces about and loves.
Exactly. But that is it. They hated the Knicks back. So basically, this is all anti-Knick fever.
Pretty much. They changed all these rules just so teams aren't like the Knicks anymore.
But if you had, like, let's say they saw there's a flop from the first quarter and they noticed it, like, beginning of the second quarter, you can have just send a guy for the free throw line and give the foul.
Actually, you could do it during one of the 4 billion TV timeouts.
If you gave the fouls in-game, people would stop flopping.
Yeah,
because that way you'd have time to review it afterwards and give the foul, and they'd be like, James Harden fouled out apparently 8 times already in the first quarter.
Or you could just do a technical. They'd be out after the second one.
I would say just a foul, but that would be really like you would see people would stop flopping because you see the penalty in the game. When you give them a fine, they're like, great, I make a kajillion dollars a year. I'll do this all the time.
And then when you do that, you have less stoppages of the game for free throws, and the game speeds up.
I also love how they're like, well, we're going to call them out. That'll make them stop flopping. Yeah, you know, they're already doing it on national television. They already have no shame, so.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your next? Oh, here's the question. I posed this on Facebook. I wanted to ask you. If you could start a team today and have their entire career on your team, would you rather have Steve Nash's career to build around or Melo's career to build around?
Steve Nash.
How close is it for you? By the way, we have a live room. We're not getting any comments. Why are we even doing a live room?
Why? You just checked the live room?
I've never checked it in my life.
Then how do you know we don't have a lot of comments?
Do we have comments?
Maybe I'm seamlessly working the comments into our conversation because I'm a professional.
I think you're seamlessly playing Candy Crush.
Maybe not.
Are we getting comments?
We got one.
What was the comment?
I don't know. I deleted it.
the comment was, I can't hear the volume. What are you doing, Jay?
I put it on the screen while you were talking, and then when it was no longer relevant, I took it off the screen. That is okay. An option on this live room.
Okay. How close is it for you, Nash versus Mello?
It's pretty close, but I would definitely take Nash. He's a once-in-a-generation point guard, and he made all his teammates better. And he arguably would have won a couple championships if not for shady things.
Do you think he would have been as good if it wasn't D'Antoni for his coach? Not that I don't love D'Antoni, but the system, you think that system made him better?
It made him better, but he was very good in Dallas. That last year with him and Dirk, they were, he was still one of the best point guards.
He never was a very good defender, but not that Melo plays that great defense.
No, he wasn't.
I'm not arguing that he's not. He's a Hall of Famer, absolutely. I'm not even arguing that. I'm just wondering like how close it is. I feel like it's really close. I just think I'd rather build a team around a great point guard, which is a great small stretch power forward.
Yeah, I mean, you could find really good scorers very easily. You can't find... There's a lot of good point guards now, but there's not a lot of like once-in-a-lifetime point guards.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to this one. Melo will make the team... He'll get points for you. Steve Nash will make the whole team better. Well, what if it's a... Not Steve Nash, but Chris Paul's career versus Melo's career. Who would you rather build around?
Melo.
That's closer. It's almost dead even for me, but I would say I would take Melo because I'm not as impressed with Paul as especially also he doesn't stay healthy.
Yeah, I don't think he stays that healthy. He hasn't completely taken over a playoff series from what I've seen. And
did we talk about last show how basically he's played with so much more talent than Melo and gets? We talked about how he didn't get crap, but how much talent he played with?
Yeah, even his Hornets team with David West in his prime. I mean, that was a really good team, and they only made it to the second round, I believe.
And look at his team with the Clippers right now. He has no excuse for not going to at least the conference finals.
Every year. I mean, that team is stacked.
What's the next question on Twitter?
The next question on Twitter is from Papa Giorgio.
Papa Giorgio.
What would be the most prized possession you'd offer in exchange for a Knicks championship in 2015? So he's asking for a personal prize possession. You have two kids, right?
I can give up one. You're right. I have one that doesn't really sleep, and she's younger anyhow. We haven't even got used to her.
You're not
as much.
That attached, and you know.
Yeah, she's only like 7 months. She's like 7 months old. Like I can go back 7 months easy.
And with her that young, you just make a new one.
Yeah, you can make a new one. How long would it take? Jay, we can win. Would you rather? The Knicks win the next five titles,
mm-hmm.
or your cat lives.
You want to kill my cat?
For those that listen to our Brink show, we had a whole thing about Jay's cat. That's why I had to say it. I'm not really good. What about...
if you're a new listener, we have a comedy podcast called The Brink of Sanity. So you can find that at brinkofsanityshow.com.
Jay had a cat, one that died, and he got a new cat the next day or something. I don't know. I made fun of the cat's death. Ooh, I'm a bad person.
Mark thought of this hilarious bit where we would just talk about my dead cat for 10 minutes.
Okay, so how was this? Would you give up your cat? The Knicks win a title, your cat breaks his leg.
No, I don't think I'd do that.
I think if you did that, you'd be an insane person.
Yeah, although I do think we have a couple listeners that would come over and break my cat's leg.
That's pretty much a given.
Yeah.
They'd be like, Jay, and just in case, I killed your cat.
Yeah.
What would you give up?
My most
How about this? A week's salary.
A week's salary, huh?
For one Knick title.
For one Knick title. I think I would.
I don't know if I do a week. I do a day's salary.
I definitely do a day's salary. A week, I don't know. I'd have to sit there and crunch some numbers.
Hey, honey. Remember how you wanted to eat this month? We're not going to, but the Knicks are going to win the title.
We're going to eat victory.
Honey, remember how you didn't want to go to the food bank this month? what would you give up? What's your more prized possession that you give up for this? How about... how about your bed?
That's more than a week's salary. I don't think I'd do that.
How about this? Your significant other gets the flu.
Probably. I mean, we're not talking about like
2 weeks versus a lifetime of happiness.
Yeah, you know, I'll buy some Kleenex and some NyQuil and it'll all be good.
Would you do that? I don't know, because that has consequences in my household, because you have two kids that get the flu.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would be like, it's already bad enough.
What if you were guaranteed that your kids would not also get the flu? Just your wife.
But then I'm on two kid duty myself for 2 weeks. That's a pretty rough 2 weeks. I'll take it also because she always gets the flu shot and I don't. So before I make fun of her for getting the flu shot.
There you go.
Anything else I give up? Would you give up your TV, living room TV?
No. I mean,
I have a good one. Forget that. The Knicks win the title, but you can't watch the championship series. You can't watch the finals at all.
Well, that's dumb.
Well, that's it. Like you get the Knicks win the title. You can watch everything else, but you can't watch the finals.
No. The whole point of enjoying them winning is to actually enjoy it while it's happening.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. If I can't experience it, you can't either.
If I can't, it's not good for me. Go fuck yourselves. Okay. Any more questions on Twitter?
Yes. Splash Zone says, favorite Steve Novak moments?
Well, that's easy. I have so many. Well, that's hard. I have so many Steve Novak. Moment that Toronto traded for him.
Him feuding with Nate Robinson.
Yes, that is the best one.
That's the best one.
It's not even close.
And then every time him and JR would go back and forth draining threes.
When JR was like, I'm looking for him, and Steve Novak's like, really?
Okay, Chris Delgado writes, season record predictions if we haven't done them yet. We have not done them, and that is our next segment.
Here, one before we get to that. Real quickly, ESPN, the magazine, has an article about, is Kobe Bryant the reason for the Lakers' downfall? Saying basically he's a difficult personality to put up with and no free agents want to come to the Lakers anymore because they don't want to have to play with Kobe. And also his salary is so big, the Lakers screw themselves. Are they paying him for past performance? Why is Kobe doing this to the team?
I like how the Knicks owner said, like, people are wusses if they don't want to play with Kobe.
Did you see that?
No. The Lakers owner. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, no. He said only losers are afraid to play with Kobe. So it's a really good idea when you're trying to recruit players to call them all losers.
He knows no one's coming there anymore. So he's like, whatever. I got him for 2 more years. I mean, the thing is, the whole argument you're paying him for past performance, you're not doing that at all. You're paying him $37 million because you don't have much else to go on. And you're like, why not get the people who are going to, we need that TV contract. We need people to watch in these games. So, and we need to fill our arena. And would people rather a young rebuilding team or a young rebuilding team with Kobe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I see why they're keeping him.
I mean, it's so like he's $37 million you're getting this year. It's not worth it if you're a normal franchise, but if you're rebuilding, you might as well give your cap to like this guy who's like a Laker great.
And who are they going to get right now? Next year, next year might be a problem, but this year it's not a problem at all.
cut his $37 million. He gets $1 million this year. Your team's not going to be any better. Not really signing anyone else anyhow. And yes. No one wants to come there because Kobe's career is over. Coming off major injury and you're like, oh, I'm going to sign there to play with Kobe now?
Yeah.
He got you a bunch of titles. Stop being a whining babies.
Lakers fans cannot say anything. Seriously.
They have the best going. You get to watch Kobe and his career, and you get to develop a team at the same time.
And they've missed the playoffs 5 times since the NBA started. So
they have the greatest setup right now. They have a... Yeah, I mean, that's... But you have Kobe. You have to get to see Kobe's the end of his Hall of Fame career. You get that young guy... what's his name? Julius Randle. You get to have him be your hope. And Jeremy Lin, all of Asia will watch.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to make a lot of money this year either way.
Yeah.
It's Kobe's fault. Like, oh, yeah, Kobe... It's your fault. I mean, they should have guaranteed like 7 titles instead of 5. He won 5 titles.
That was a really petty article.
You read the whole thing?
I skimmed because it was just. I read most of it, but it got annoying after a while.
If I was Kobe, I was reading that, I'd be like, I'm just not going to do any more interviews with ESPN.
Seriously.
I mean, how do you like ESPN for the last decade and a half has been like making tons of money off of you, and then you get this article bashing.
He's made them so much money.
He's also, you want a guy that difficult on your team. I would love that. I wish Melo was that difficult to play with. Because you know what Kobe does? He outworks everyone and he bitches out anyone that doesn't work hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a hard guy to play with, but like, you know what? Like, I'm sure everyone would rather play with him than most guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't see anybody saying, oh, Jordan, I'd really rather have not played with him because he was mean to me.
Yeah, he might have been a dick, but at least he worked as hard as possible. You knew like he wasn't slacking off.
Right.
And you knew if you actually worked as hard as he did, you'd be a better player.
Exactly.
So, whatever. Okay, let's do our preview. Okay. As the show winds down.
Yeah. We cannot do a short show.
Okay, are we going to do starting with the worst record or the best record?
Whatever you want. It doesn't really matter to me.
I was hoping you'd have an opinion on this.
Let's start with the best record.
Okay. We're not going to give the actual records out, right?
No. We're just going to guess what
I'm just going to rank them. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Eastern Conference.
Yeah, Eastern Conference. Cleveland?
Cleveland, yeah.
If they don't win, they have to go to the finals for their year not to be a complete failure. I'd say you have to make the finals. They don't have to win a title, but you have to make the finals.
Agreed.
Barring everyone your team is injured.
Even if people are injured, they should make the finals even if they have a significant injury for a good portion of the season. The East is terrible this year.
2, the Bulls.
Yeah, this is why I said start from the top, because the East is
easier.
Really not that exciting right now.
I feel like they've added some scoring with Powell and that European guy. Add some scoring to this team, the team should be better, and the East isn't that great. 3.
And Rose has actually looked pretty good. I don't think he'll stay healthy the whole season, but he looks pretty good.
If I can make a bet, if anyone can get the Vegas for me and place the bet for me, Rose will not play more than 30 games. 3, this is where it gets tricky because the rest of the conference kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's like the Lakers, I mean, the Knicks should make the playoffs, but like, cause everyone's mediocre, basically. 3, I go with... I want to say the Wiz will make a jump up, but I don't think they're that great.
Toronto with 3.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with Toronto with 3 also. I just don't think Toronto's that great, but Toronto they look pretty good. They still look pretty good. 4, I say the Wiz.
Yeah.
5... I guess Miami.
Wow, we have the same top 5. This is really exciting so far.
Did you write this up ahead of time?
I wrote the first 6.
Are you writing them down now?
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember, so. 6, I take Atlanta.
Okay, I have Charlotte.
Whatever. 7, I have the Knicks.
7, I have the Knicks, huh? Okay.
I think they'll go on a little bit of a tear once they like figure some stuff out, like post-January.
I have Atlanta.
8, I have Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte, you think they're actually going to finish with a worse seed now that they got Stevenson?
You know what the problem is? That the East was really bad last year, and you're saying the East is really bad this year, but East was even like, it was a better conference last year because everyone, it was like basically, it was the Heat and everyone, and the Pacers and everyone else was just terrible.
Right.
Now it's the Cleveland, but everyone else is mediocre. It's going to be harder to get to the win total you had last year. Because people improve, but everyone still sucks.
Yeah.
You have a lot more tougher games, basically, of mediocre teams.
My number 8 is the Knicks.
Wow. Knicks show, we both put them in the playoffs. Number 9, I'm going to pick Brooklyn.
Yep.
Just missing the playoffs.
They're my number 9, too. Yep, just missing.
Just missing. 10, I'm going to take Detroit, Milwaukee. Probably Detroit.
Detroit? Yeah, they're my number 10, too. After this, the last 5 teams are all terrible.
Oh, there's 5 to go. Good God. number 11, I'm going to take
You couldn't decide between Detroit and Milwaukee, but now you're not going to go
Milwaukee. Yeah, I was just kidding before. I think Milwaukee sucks. Okay. I'll take Milwaukee, though. Yeah. No, the 11 is Detroit. Who did I just say? I don't remember who I just said.
You had you had Detroit at 10.
Oh, okay. So 11, Milwaukee.
Okay. My number 11 is the Pacers.
My number 12 is the Pacers.
Man, they one game from the conference finals down to one of the worst teams in one of the worst conferences of all time.
They lost a lot.
So what we got 13. This is the last 3. Oh my God, 13. I'm going to go with Boston.
Oh yeah. I will agree with you because it's not that hard. And number 14 is Orlando, and 15 is the 76ers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't go anything but. No, by the way, what do you think? They didn't pass the they were trying to change the draft to make it harder to tank and get the first pick.
I was all for that.
I am all against that.
Really?
Yeah, because you know what? If your team sucks, the only thing fun to do is rooting for tanking.
How much fun do you think Philly fans are having 3 straight years of tanking?
Yeah, but like at least like you feel like there's some kind of plan. It's worse. Would you rather be a Philly fan or a Hawk fan?
I'd rather
every
be a
year
Hawk
would be
fan.
Gonna be kind of okay and never improve.
The Hawks have the longest playoff streak in the East. I would much rather that than a team actively trying to lose, and it may not work out.
It may not work out, but you always like say, like, hey, why don't we just tank until we get good?
I'd rather make the playoffs 7 years in a row.
Both fans that go to the games in Atlanta will agree with you. they do not sell at the playoffs. Yeah, whatever. I also think the Sixers, I think the plan would go better if you could draft better. But instead of going like, hey, who can't play this year? We're taking you.
Yeah.
But I didn't like them getting rid of it. I kind of like the draft lottery. I think that it...
Well, they didn't get rid of it.
No, I mean, they do enough that like it just like if you have the worst record, you're still in the lottery to get the best record. So that's enough, I think.
I think 17 owners voted in favor of it, but they needed 23 to actually change the rules. So nothing changed.
Yeah, because all the teams were like, well, what if we have a bad year? And what's the Knicks record? How many wins?
Knicks end up with 42 wins.
43.
All right.
I am not, as I mean, I had the whole like, oh, it's the triangle. This is going to be amazing. And then I started watching preseason and go, oh, this is going to take a really long time to get together. So,
yeah.
Number 1 in
Although
the West.
If 42 wins is the 8th seed, that means the East actually improved a lot.
Right. Well, I think it's going to be more like more mediocre teams and no one like can be hard, like not as many really good teams. Also, I have the 7th, so. Okay, number 1 in the West, I'm going to take Denver. Just kidding. Number 1 in the West, I'm going to take... you think Woodson gets the Clippers to 70 wins this year?
I have the Clippers as my number 1.
Yeah, so you're saying Oklahoma missing 2 months of Durant. Not gonna be, they're not going to be able to have enough games to... I'm going to take the reigning champs for the best. No, they're going to. This is a hard one.
I know. See, I put the Spurs at two because I don't trust Pop as far as, hey, none of the starters are going to play today. You know, we're going to win a championship, but I don't care about regular season record.
Right, right.
Even though when he said that last year, they still finished with the best record, but it's possible they get a slightly lower seed.
I'm going to take OKC still. I'm going to say even though they're going to be missing Durant, they're going to still play pretty well with Westbrook.
And you think Isaiah Thomas goes off?
They don't have Isaiah Thomas.
Who's the other guy they have? Reggie Jackson?
Reggie Jackson. Yeah, Isaiah Thomas plays for Phoenix.
I knew it was somebody with a famous name.
Yeah. Well, I guess the Clippers make sense, too. I'm going to say the Clippers at two.
So you're going OKC at one and Clippers at two?
Yes.
Okay. I had OKC at three.
Right. We're doing the two pick right now.
I already said.
What'd you say?
Spurs.
Oh, okay. I'll take the Spurs at three. Okay.
Yeah,
four.
That makes sense. My three is who did I
didn't
put
you,
down?
Didn't you just say OKC?
Yes, I did. I'm losing my mind.
My number four, where it gets a little more interesting, yeah. I am going to take Portland.
Portland at four?
Yeah.
Was that where they were last year, or was that Houston?
I forget.
Okay. I am going to go with Dallas.
That's my number five, Dallas.
I don't think a lot of people have Dallas up this high.
No, I don't think so either. But I also agree. I think Dallas will have a good record. I think Dirk's in it to win it with the $10 million contract. I think they're going to be pretty good this year.
I mean, they had 50 wins last year, and they upgraded in two starting positions.
They got Chandler, which they know how to use him. Not that he's that great anymore. Who's the other guy they got? They got
Parsons.
Yes,
Chandler
Parsons,
and Chandler.
Yeah, they got the Chandler connection. They should be pretty good. I like the Parsons move a lot. I think they're gonna be pretty good. Who's your number five?
Portland. They have one of the best starting lineups in the NBA and one of the worst benches. So I think that'll even out to put them in the middle of the conference.
Six, I say Golden State.
That's Golden State is like the West Coast Atlanta.
Do they go to the playoffs that often?
The last couple of years, they're like first round and out lately. I am putting them at six as well.
No, because they basically their move was to go try to go for a home run with Ging Bogut.
Right, because that'll work out.
No, but it's not like the same thing as Atlanta. Atlanta's just like, we like mediocre. Golden State's like, hey, if this point guard can ever stay healthy, we've got a lot to work. And Bogut stay healthy also, we got a lot to work with.
Right. I mean, yeah, they would be really good if everyone was healthy, but that has not happened yet, and I don't
see
have
why
any reason
now
to believe why it would ever.
Okay, number seven, I will take Memphis. Wait, am I going to take that? Yeah, I guess Memphis. Yeah, never mind.
Memphis at seven?
Yeah, this is a tough, actually. You know what? I'll take Phoenix. Never mind. I'll take Phoenix here.
You on Phoenix? Wow, okay.
I think Phoenix is going to be pretty good.
I am going with Houston at seven.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Houston outside the playoffs. I'm going to take eight Memphis.
I like it. I would love to see Houston miss the playoffs.
I think they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't think it's like, I think it's almost a fact. I think Harden's going to look, it's going to be a lot worse this year without Parsons. Parsons was a pretty good player on their team last year. Dwight Howard will be asking for a trade by midseason. And James Harden, at some point in the season, people will be like, hey, Harden, could you freaking play defense already?
If I do, I will say if Harden or Howard get injured for an extended period, they're not in the playoffs.
I told someone about Harden the other day. We were talking basketball, and we were talking about somehow like the West came up, and I was like, talking about Harden, I was like, hey, you know, like, have you seen those things about him not playing defense? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, just Google. And he's like, oh my God, he's awful.
Yeah.
What number are we up to? So I said eight, I said Memphis. What do you say for eight?
Eight, I have Phoenix. I think not a lot of people are picking them to make the playoffs, but they have a really good team.
I think they have a really good team, and I think they have a lot of...
They would be...
Going all offense, they have a great... I mean, between... Obviously healthy and all that, but like between Bledsoe, Dragic, and like Isaiah Thomas, that's a lot of scoring.
They'd be a three seed in the East, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a really good squad. I just think the West is really tough. But yeah, I think 3 seed in the East easily.
Well, I mean, both of us are picking really good teams to miss the playoffs.
So my number 9 would be Houston.
So you're picking a very good
team. Absolutely. The West is, I don't know why the West is so much tougher, but it's been tougher for a while.
And I am picking Memphis to just miss.
Yeah, so we just, that's basically the difference there.
I think both teams we picked to just miss are one injury away from disaster. You can't say that about the West is so tough. You can't say that. Like, if Duncan goes down for like 30 games, Spurs could still finish with the top seed.
Right. I'm already picking OKC to get the top seed, and they're missing Durant for 2 months.
Right.
Number 10, Denver.
Yeah, Denver. I don't know how Gallo's gonna look. Lawson is got recurring ankle issues. This is a team where if they're healthy, they could look good, but they're not going to be healthy.
Gallo's career is done already.
I have Denver.
He will not look that great anymore.
You know, he's only like 26.
How is that even possible?
I have no idea. I looked it up the other day.
No way he's 26.
I looked it up the other day. I'm like, there's no way he's that young, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we got him at like 19.
It's been that long? I mean, that short? Age 26. You know what I love?
Mm-hmm.
I go on Basketball Reference. You know how old Gallinari is, according to Basketball Reference?
Mm-hmm.
He's 26.079 years old.
Good.
Because that was helpful. I needed the decimal points.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. He's just been so injured that I don't feel he'll ever regain form and be able to be like be the all-star we thought he might have been.
His confidence has got to be pretty low right now.
Yeah, he could play quarterback for the Jets right now. His confidence is so low. They don't dunch. I hate the Jets so much. Big Jet. That's awesome. Thank you for adding that. That must be a show regular.
Yeah. I have Denver at 10 as well.
Okay, number 11. This is where it starts getting tricky. There's a nice fall off here. I think the Lakers.
You are actually predicting the Lakers way higher than me. 11 for the Lakers. My number 11 is the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves are always terrible. You just lost your best player. Rubio, the team's not that good. They have a bunch of guys that you're like, hey, I like this guy on my fantasy team, but not my real team. Or actually, I like this guy on my team, and it's a good thing he'll leave soon. I'll take them as 12. I think the Lakers, Kobe's going to be not quite what Kobe used to be. He'd still be pretty good. They've got enough young players. I feel like the Lakers will be better.
I think the Lakers have nothing.
Whatever. I think Randall's supposed to be good. That's what I'm really counting on here. Either way, who cares?
Number 12,
I'll take a...
The Timberwolves?
Yeah, I said the Timberwolves. You're right.
I'm going with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, Anthony Davis.
Yep.
That's a great place. Yeah, for a guy that's supposed to be like the next like great NBA player, no one thinks they're going to be very good.
Well, yeah, because the rest of the team is guys who are never healthy.
Right, but I feel like, I know he's not Shaq, but remember Shaq's first year, he took a team, Orlando team, that was horrendous and got them to 500.
Yeah.
Why can't Anthony Davis get the team a little better?
I think if he was in the East, they'd be a 500 team.
Yeah, maybe. In the East, anyone's better. The Knicks would probably be fighting for last place in the West.
Yeah.
I'll take the Pelicans 13.
Mm-hmm. My 13, I'm going with the Lakers.
Okay, so Sac versus Utah. Gotta go Sac.
Yeah, I agree. Sacramento is not the worst team in the conference.
Where would Sacramento be in the East? They've got Cousins, they've got Gay. Who could ask for anything more?
I think they would probably be 10th.
Yeah, I don't think they're that bad of a team, even though I don't think they're very good.
I think they would be 10th and not that far out of the playoffs if they were in the East.
Versus Utah, which is next, I think they would be like 14. I think they'd be terrible in the East as well.
Yeah, they're just a really bad team. They made trades to get a bunch of potential guys who never lived up to their potential.
Good thing, though, they signed Haywood for long-term deal.
Yeah, got to lock that up.
Yeah, got to lock that up. Without him, we'd be last place. So, okay, that's our rankings. Let's go to the Facebook questions.
Oh, God, oh, still we still questions?
Okay, wait, do we have to predict finals?
Oh, finals, Spurs, Cavs, Spurs in five.
Oh, you know what? Actually, do the conference finals first. East Conference, Bulls versus Cavs. Cavs take that in six.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say for the East?
Same.
Then the West,
East is so predictable.
The West, Spurs versus... This is
hard.
Spurs versus OKC. Spurs go back. Spurs take it in seven, and the Spurs play the Cavs in the finals.
Okay, well, I had pretty much the same thing.
Oh, wow. This is exciting.
Because I think Clippers choke again, and then we could start really getting on the ball for making fun of Chris Paul.
Spurs in five against the Cavs.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be funny.
No, I do think they would win in five.
Yeah. I think the Cavs are going to have a tough year also with all the injuries they're going to have. And MVP?
MVP, I think it goes back to LeBron because Durant's going to miss too many games.
Is this like other side of the street parking?
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to be one of those two in for the next like 4 years.
Yeah, no one thinks it's going to be anyone else. You're not like, oh, Chris Paul's going to get this year. And Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year. That one's a little tougher.
Not really. He temporarily plays in Minnesota.
You think Wiggins?
Yeah, he's got a lot of talent. I think people are gonna start saying, I mean, Love's gonna do well in Cleveland, but people will be like, should we have made that trade? And that's gonna be a big debate throughout the year. Like, hey, Wiggins looks pretty good, and Love looks good too, but like you're gonna have a lot more years of Wiggins. Maybe we should have kept him. And Wiggins gonna be better in defense.
So far in preseason, Bennett's looked better.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he lost a ton of weight. He's in crazy good shape. And he's looked really good.
I've paid literally no attention to how Minnesota's doing in preseason.
One of my good friends is like a diehard Wolves fan, so he sends me like five messages a day about the Wolves, like I care.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if Wiggins and like Bennett end up being like Hall of Famers? Just for the sake of like Cleveland went all in to lose them? They just threw Bennett into the trade?
I know.
And Coach of the Year?
My Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go with Noel, just to be different.
The guy in the Sixers?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. And Coach of the Year?
Coach of the Year is going to be Pop.
He
deserves to win back-to-back.
He
I think
will
he'll
not get it. Absolutely not. OKC, what's his name over there?
Mm-hmm.
How did he play without Durant for the 2 months of the season that don't matter?
Yeah, I mean, he only had to play the best point guard in the league after that.
Sixth man of the year?
Oh, who cares? I hate that award.
Community Service Award?
that is the worst award.
It really is. Hands down the dumbest award in all sports. It'd be like in baseball calling the pinch hitter of the year if the pinch hitter could play most of the game.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go to questions.
Do we have a lot? Because the show's over an hour already.
We'll be done soon. We started early. Rob writes, you guys have asked us this question, but I haven't heard from you. I haven't heard from you guys. Who is the Knicks starting five and worst starting five using any former and current Knicks players? I responded to Rob by saying, we'll answer that on Sunday night. Rob wrote back, LOL, that's what I assumed when the post said questions, topics, ha ha. And I said, ha ha, I'm a moron. Yeah, so what do you think? Top five.
Top five. Was this current? It's top five. Wait, which one are we doing?
Current, we're doing, though, it's comp combination of just all time. Former, like, using any former or current Knicks. Any guys ever played for the Knicks?
Center's got to be Ewing.
Really?
Yeah. Power forward's got to be Oakley. We'll go with Melo.
You're not going to go small here and put Melo at the power forward?
No, I'm going Melo at 3.
Okay.
And then I'm going with Clyde at the 2.
I never watched enough of these guys, but yeah.
And then...
What position did Willis Reed play? Was he a forward?
He was center.
Oh. Because he apparently could beat the crap out of an entire team.
I don't know if anybody saw the video of him destroying, fighting an entire team, but it was
so
amazing.
So awesome.
And I would put Mark Jackson at the 1.
That's the worst position out there. Well, who's the 2?
Clyde.
Oh, you said Clyde.
Yeah.
That's the worst position. Like, Mark Jackson isn't that great of a point guard.
Right, but he's the best point guard we've ever had.
I'd say of the 30 NBA franchises, we could have the worst all-time great point guard. Or like top bottom 5 all-time great point. Like, I mean, not to knock Mark Jackson, but I am. There's like 10 guys in the league that are better than him right now.
Yeah, I know, but like, who would you pick at the 1?
I don't. That's my problem, is they never have good point guards. I agree. Mark Jackson is the best point guard in Knicks history outside of some guy. Also, I wanted the guys in the 70s, right? I can't remember. I don't know who else. Who was the point guard on that team that won the title?
Earl the Pearl.
Oh, I guess I'll take Earl the Pearl.
Okay. He was another one, though, that I don't think was great.
Right. Mark Jackson wasn't great. At least, like, Earl the Pearl has some rings. Yeah, I agree. I pretty much agree with your team. I can't really argue with that. Even power forward, though, Oakley, I really like Oakley. He's not an amazing power forward. But, like, I like him a lot.
I mean, you need rebounding. And
no, I agree. You need rebounding, you need toughness. And, like, he's a great player, but he's not, like... It wouldn't be as much fun if you were, like, doing the Lakers.
Right.
Or how you sing yourself to sleep every night when you go over... My top 5 Celtics of all time are Larry Bird, Larry Bird, Bird Larry, Larry Bird. Top 5 worst. And so you think top 5 worst, like guys that we just hated for being here, or guys who were just literally the worst starters we've had? In the sense of like Stephen Marbury had some good stats for the Knicks, but it was an awful player to have had.
Right. He did have that one good season, so...
Same with Eddie Curry. Eddie Curry had like some decent numbers here, but also like we paid him $20 million to like not play.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing top 5 worst, I would take fat Eddie Curry from the year before his contract expired.
Okay, how about this? Guys that legitimately were starters for our team and just were just terrible. We couldn't believe these guys were our actual starters. Yeah, not because of contracts.
Right. I would take Charles Smith.
Was Smith that bad, though?
I think so. Do you remember him ever doing anything?
What'd you say? Was he average? I think he was more average than anything else. Okay, let's start at point guard. The point guard, I think is the more fun one.
Duhon?
I was going to say Childs? Duhon, actually, you're right. Duhon was miserably bad.
Yeah. Okay, so the 2... Who's really bad that started at the 2?
Can you believe Landry Fields was a starting 2 for us?
Landry Fields.
The guy could barely be in the NBA. We're like, the worst player in the NBA, we'll take him as a starting 2. Yeah, I take Landry Fields. I mean, like, some of the guys they've started recently have been, like, unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
The 3.
Didn't Bill Walker start a lot of games?
Yeah, he did.
We're basically just saying the roster of like the Knicks team 3 years ago.
I'm trying to think who else would be Bill Walker. Oh my god. Did he start a lot, or was he more off the bench?
I think he was more off the bench. He started more than he should have.
Yeah, that actually holds true for a lot of Knicks.
Charles Smith. I mean, yeah.
I don't think he's that. I'm looking at his numbers. I mean, I know he wasn't that good, but I don't think he was quite as bad as you'll remember. Because I think someone hold the fact that he couldn't like just make a goddamn shot off the backboard against him. Let me look at stats. So his purr was always. I can't do that. Let's see his Knicks stats. He. He always averaged. This is the thing. Like he's averaged about 10 to 12 a game, and he got like 4 or 5 rebounds a game. I mean, it wasn't very good.
Right.
Yeah. What's his name? What was the tall, lanky guy that can play defense for us that sucked on offense? And we hated him until Jeremy Lin started playing with him.
Jeffries?
Yeah, Jared Jeffries. He's my 3.
Didn't he play like 5?
Oh, who cares? the worst center we've had. Who's the worst center we've had?
I mean, it would be Fat Eddie Curry.
Yeah, but you get to count that because there was a good Eddie Curry too. Like an okay Eddie Curry too.
It was one season out of 5, though.
So prior to Chandler, who was our center?
Prior to Chandler, it was Jeffries.
Was he our starting center? Like, we had no one there. We were playing, like, whoever was left over in the Melo trade.
We were playing either Jeffries or David Lee.
No, but post-David Lee, after the Melo trade, our starting center was...
I think it was Jeffries.
This is like just a terrible, like, well, I don't want to walk down this road anymore. Gav writes, he refers to Alex. Alex Wright, I don't know what he referred to. Okay, he just wrote, at Alex, I hate you, Facebook. At Alex, haha, I'm absolutely Scottish, and thanks for the info, bro. Appreciate it. That'll make more sense when we read Alex's comment later. Rosario writes, read the site question, most unexpected question I've ever heard.
Huh? I don't even understand what you just said.
I said, read the site question, most unexpected question I've ever heard. What was the question I asked that day?
Read the site question?
I guess the Nash Mello question, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know.
Whatever. Okay. Michael writes, dear D. Rose, who is going to be better this year? Jimmy Butler's Bulls with their dynamic point guard shooting 38% from the field or the Knicks?
Repeat that?
Dear D. Rose, who is going to be better this year? Jimmy Butler's Bulls with their dynamic point guard shooting 38% from the field or the Knicks?
You want to let Derek Rose answer that?
I'll see if we can get three-way calling with him. Derek, are you there? Yeah, I'm here. I was just playing NBA 2K. I'm waiting for the Walking Dead episode to come on. I'm going to watch the Walking Dead. Shouldn't you be at, I don't know, practicing with the Bulls or getting ready? Yeah, getting ready for what? The season? Why? Anyhow, how do you think the Bulls are going to... I'm doing an interview myself. The Bulls are going to be... They were pretty good last year, and I think they're going to be very good this year. The Knicks are definitely just not going to be quite as good. And how am I going to assert 38% from the bench when I'm not playing at home? the Bulls are going to be better either way. Whether D-Rose plays or not, the Bulls are going to be better than the Knicks. And Jimmy Butler's overrated.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is.
Nils writes, who's the Knicks player you guys are most excited to see play this year? That's a good question.
I'm going to go with Shumpert. I think he's going to impress us on offense finally.
I would agree with Shumpert because I'm hoping he'll finally come into his own.
For the third straight year, I'm saying this.
And then I would say Timmy, I'd like him to come into his own on defense. I am the guy who I'm unexpectedly really excited for is AC now. I am in the AC bandwagon, even though maybe previous shows I've said otherwise. I'm kind of excited about AC now. Who would you say is the guy that has surprisingly impressed you the most in the preseason?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Ware because I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, I would say Ware only because like I would say Ware if he was going to play, but since I don't think he's going to play very much, Dalembert is a lot better than I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
He looked pretty good. I haven't watched too much of him, and like he looked pretty good in the preseason. If he stays healthy, he could be a nice contributor.
Oh, to go back with the worst center, I'm going to go with Othella Harrington.
That is a pretty good one.
He started in 2003. He started 64 games.
You could just take the 2003 starting lineup and just call it the worst five.
I'm looking at the roster. I can't believe the team was that bad 2 years after being a playoff team.
Who's the starting five?
I don't know who this. I guess or, it doesn't just, say where this.
I'll just say who the top five got scored.
I'm going to guess the starting five was Marbury. It wasn't Houston because he was injured that whole season. That's when we had washed up Anthony Hardaway. I can't even pick who was starting there. I don't know. Shannon Anderson, Othella Harrington, McDyess was injured. Mutombo was like 45 at that point. Kurt Thomas and Tim Thomas, I think, was the starting lineup.
Jesus.
And maybe Keith Van Horn and an old Charlie Ward.
Should we have an Anthony Hardaway prediction each year? And we can start this year doing it. The guy to randomly, the all-star to randomly completely fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah, seriously.
Because he had a Hall of Fame-bound career and fell off the face of the earth, like, so unexpectedly. Who would you take? Who this year you predict will fall off the face of the earth? The guy has to be all-star level last year, will suddenly stop being good.
Right.
You don't have a lot of big reason for it either.
I am going to say it would be hilarious if it was Kevin Love, wouldn't it?
It'd be so wonderful if it was Kevin Love.
He just turns into like a 7-5 guy.
Kyrie Irving just starts turning the ball off over like a madman.
Yeah, every third dribble is just off his foot.
No, Kyrie Irving just never plays a game again. I'm going to say I like the Kevin Love one. That's pretty damn good one.
I'm just going to go with that for comedic value.
Yeah, I don't think I can really even come close to being that. That's really funny. I'll just give that to you. Joe, we're almost done with this. Who were you least? This is my own question, but forget who. Okay, who were you? Have you been least impressed with in the preseason? Surprisingly, least impressed with.
Least impressed with, I would have to go with.
Surprisingly, so don't say Bargs or Amari.
Well, yeah. Surprisingly, Calderon hasn't really done anything, so I'm kind of surprised at that.
I think he's looked okay. He's looked so decent when he's been out there. He's been injured a little bit. I think Cleanthony Early is far away from being a good player. I thought he, for some reason, everyone's been hyping him up. I thought he'd look better right away.
I had a feeling he wasn't going to make an impression right away.
Yeah. George writes, why the F is Cole Aldridge posting up like he's Patrick Ewing? Austin responds, Cole plays hard and is effective in small doses, George writes, as long as he doesn't get too demanding.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't look, I mean, he's hit some, he has some moves out there. He has a little bit of a hook.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that.
I mean, does anyone really think like having Bargs out there as center makes more sense? I think he plays a lick of defense. I mean, he's not like great on defense, but Alex writes, why can't we play third quarters? And Grant responds, Mark and Jay, answer that in the Knicks dictionary under third quarter.
That's right. If you go to our website and type in Knicks dictionary, we wrote in basketball terms that apply to the Knicks. And third quarter is the quarter the Knicks take off before trying again.
Third quarter means time to relax, guys. This one's in the bag. Gav writes, how long before the triangle actually works like it should? Where the F can I watch the 30 for 30 documentaries in the UK? Alex responds, you can get some of them on YouTube. The June 17, 1994 one with the O.J. Simpson one is pretty great. Alex responds, P.S. Loving the random swearing in your question. Have you got Scottish blood? I guess that was the Scottish, the Ad Alex thing they liked earlier. Mm. But the triangle one, I think we both have said January. Is that anything changed?
No.
Greg writes, who's better, Sean Kemp or Blake Griffin? Why? That would be also amazing if Blake Griffin ends his career the way Sean Kemp did.
As a washed-up alcoholic?
Yes. Sorry, Blake.
With 57 kids?
And no money. Who's better? I actually, and we were going to use their heyday, right?
Right, right.
I don't think this is close.
I think right now, Sean Kemp.
Yeah, I think Sean Kemp was like, he was lighting the world on fire. He was a really good player.
Yeah.
I mean, Blake, if Sean Kemp was playing on this Clipper team, they would go to the finals.
Right.
Greg writes, NBA final predictions, we did that. Mm-hmm. Final four predictions, conference finals, did that. Thoughts on the new Flash episodes?
Have not seen them. Heard they were not great, but I have not seen them.
I've watched bits and pieces of them. They seem okay.
I heard it's like an episode of Law & Order with a really fast guy.
Yeah, it's kind of. That's what I don't like. I like shows that have overarching stories, not just like, what do we face this week,
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, like villain of the day.
Yeah, I haven't watched that show, the other one on WB, the Arrow. But that one's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I heard that one's decent.
I don't know why I watched The Flash here after hearing that the Arrow was good. I could just watch The Arrow. It's on Netflix. Greg writes, have we been losing lately during the preseason? Time to panic? Question.
No. We're playing our bench players in crunch time.
Just never panic about anything that happens in the preseason. Outside of injuries. Evan writes, if a nice trade comes along during the season and you had to include one of these guys, Shumpy or Hardaway, who would you include?
Can I answer that like a month from now?
Yeah, you know what the problem with that answer is, like, if it's like February and Shump looks like crap, then I'm going to get rid of Shump. I think we both would say we have higher hopes for Shump's ability because of his defensive prowess, right?
Right, right. Right now, I would go Hardaway just because I feel like it's easier to learn offense than it is defense. But
yeah,
that could change, you know, 2 months from now.
I think you're better. You're more likely to acquire in this nice trade a guy that'll help you on offense than a guy that'll help you on defense.
Right.
There was a couple questions, comments, so we have a couple other questions. But George wrote on our message page, guys, how good was Cookie Monster's dunk against the Bucks? Definite rim rocker. So AC is Cookie Monster, I guess,
yes.
Apparently. I love that, especially because I really like Cookie Monster, and so does my son.
Mm-hmm.
And BBU Bearcats wrote, hey, Mark and Jay, love the show. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to the Knicks starting. Hopefully our next season starting. Hopefully our Knicks can make the playoffs this season. If Barg stays on the bench or gets shipped to Alcatraz, Sacramento, with Rudy and company. Also, can people lay off the strap on and all the crap? Mark and Jay don't need this shit, and it takes up a good 10 minutes of the show, as they could put it to better use. Look forward to listening on the next show. George and the BBU Bearcats basketball team. It's our social basketball team. Check out our page. Cheers. So if you had a chance, everyone, check out the BBU Bearcats team. And last questions. George writes, Bargs is injured. Yes, there's a good, maybe that is there. There's a God. Maybe we could win the season opener. Rosario writes, guys, link when we go live. Grant writes, I don't know why I read that. Grant writes, would you rather spend the hard-earned money on Christmas basketball camp or JD in the Straight Shot concert? That is a great question, Grant. And William responds to me about a black rubber mandingo.
I would spend my money on Christmas camp.
Yeah, I think this is like the comedic value of that camp, and you'd probably have fun playing basketball.
And you'd probably run into a couple bored other Knicks players that just show up.
Even if just Chris and JR are the only people there, everyone would be like, ha ha, this is kind of funny to make fun of Chris, and right. We're going to play basketball.
Exactly.
There's nothing I'd do fun at JD's Straight Shot concert.
No, that's just miserable.
And also, I would try to make fun of, I would be like, Jay, ha ha, I got a joke for you, and Jay would be like, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Great. Matt writes, is there actually a possibility in Travis Outlaw getting cut and us signing Ware? And is there a chance Amari and Bargs will put their defensive skills of a two-year-old to good use this year? It sounds like Ware is going to be on the team.
Yep. So the first part is happening. The second part is not happening.
Yeah, I had some hope for them getting better in defense, but I just don't think I just don't think that both either guys are going to get better. We haven't seen any more of Barg, so maybe he's figuring it out while he's watching the games.
Yeah.
I can't see them getting better on defense. I think I said it earlier in the year that I thought, or earlier episode, I thought they'd get better on defense, or I thought Amari would or Bargs would, but I have no faith either one. Last question. People are still commenting on the Facebook page, by the way.
I know.
Peter writes, do you think a lineup of Calderon, Hardaway, Melo, Amari, and Bargs is the most defensively deficient lineup in history? Is it bad that the closer to the regular season it gets, the worse I feel about the defense, and in turn, this year's team's chances of making the playoffs?
That could be the worst defensive lineup ever, yes. I mean, they're not going to play that lineup very often.
Melo would be the best defender on that on the floor.
I know. That's
He'd be the defensive stopper.
That's not... I don't think that's going to... affect the playoff situation too much because that lineup will never play together.
If Woodson was the coach, it would.
Yeah.
Can you imagine seeing a Melo, Amari, and Bargs out there at the same time?
Oof.
Hi. Were there any comments on the Facebook?
Well, there's two comments saying they want to hear the website comments, probably because they're the ones who wrote them. I just didn't want the first 10 minutes of every episode to be cursing and Blackstrap. We're trying not to curse during this show, so we can curse a lot during our comedy show.
How's this? If you want the Blackstrap on comments, send us comments saying you want them. If we get enough demand, we'll start putting them back in the show.
Or if you don't want them. I don't know what to do anymore.
No, if you just forget it. You don't have to act. If you don't want them, you don't have to say anything. If you want them, make the comments. Tell us that you want them. And if all the comments are from the same IP address, then we're not going to believe you.
Right. That's the other thing. The like 10 out of the 12 comments were from the same IP address. So, you know.
Anyway, we had a lot to cover. Sometimes we'll cover them. Sometimes we won't. We'll see how much people actually want to keep putting them. Okay. I think we're out of time. What did we learn today, Jay?
I just wanted to say that on the Facebook page, you can see what the Knicks podcast shirts look like. I got a prototype made. We got feedback and people don't want the URL. So the final version will not have the URL. I just want to see, post something on the Facebook group or email us or Twitter. Contact us and let us know.
Jay needs four more people to say they want a t-shirt and he's going in production. So four more people tell him you want a shirt and he will start making the shirts.
Right. I don't want to end up with a whole closet. I have to order 25 shirts to get the price down to where I want it. And so far, you know, we've gotten about a dozen people who want it, which is great. But I don't want to lose money, and I will if.
By the way, if you want to know, Jay's got a really good deal on the t-shirts. He has them made from a there's a bowling alley in Brooklyn where he's having them manufactured. So we'll send that to your place.
And then Grant writes, if blue is an option, count me in, and I believe it is. I've got a couple different places that are willing to make them. I'm trying to find the one with the combination of best quality and lowest price, and I think they both will give me the option to have whatever color you want as along with the logo. So more details on that to follow, but let me know if you're interested, just so, again, I don't, my girlfriend doesn't flip out when there's, 25 shirts in the living room and nobody's buying them.
If you add $5, he'll send you a Brinks shirt also.
Yes.
Sizes
and colors of the Brinks shirts are on our website, brinkofsanityshow.com. Because
yes.
We did sell out, believe it or not, we did sell out of some colors and sizes. So go in there and make sure we have those first.
Okay. If the shirts do really well, will you move on to boxer briefs?
I don't know if that's an option.
Okay.
I think hoodies and sweatshirts and stuff are options, though.
Okay, I wanted to see if you would be like, you want people wearing the Knicks logo near the Knicks podcast logo near their
jersey. I don't. If it's an option and people wanted it, that's fine with me.
What did we learn today, Jay?
We learned that even though there still has not been any games, we're still at an hour and 40 minutes for this podcast.
Holy When's the season start? What night? Is it starting on Tuesday?
Season starts Tuesday. Knicks season starts Wednesday.
Okay, I got to set my fantasy lineup. We also learned that... we learned that we have a... I don't know what we learned, Jay.
We didn't. We learned that people either feel really strongly about the comments...
or don't care.
Or don't care. So,
which is like most issues in life.
Yeah.
We learned that Travis Ware will be the 15th man on the bench, probably. And that is something that won't matter after today. We learned that we're getting a little bit worried about the Knicks defense.
A little bit.
We learned that when you last year's team that just doubled and triple teamed then switched randomly may have had a better defense than the team we're going with this year.
Oh, I should also say that we're doing a live show every episode now, and when I put up the link to the live show in the Facebook group, you could click on that link, and then that's where you can post stuff, and you could whenever we're live, you can call us too. So get a pen and paper. The number is 631-676-1181. So you can call that up while we're doing a show. And then say hi. But don't call in now because we're wrapping up.
Call now. Call now. Right now. Right now. Call. Call. I think we're done with the show today.
Yeah, we're done. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon. Soon, right?
Yeah.
Very soon.
What?
We'll be back
Thursday?
Soon. I don't know. Not Thursday. I have class.
We're going to be on next Sunday, and then we might be doing twice a week next week, depending on. You'll see. Okay. And we're going to do a Brink show soon also. We may even do a Halloween Brink episode. Who knows?
See, this is why you got to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. So whenever we do stuff, you know.
And follow Jay on Instagram. Jay is starting an Instagram site where he just shows pictures of himself doing the show, just his face. Every night you'll be like, oh, this is Jay wearing a different t-shirt during the show. Yes.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. It's all over. Goodbye. It's time to go. This is the end. Say goodbye.